Thanks, Tony. Hi, I'm Charlie. I'm a recovering addict. Nice to see everybody and some friendly faces, people I know from other meetings. It's hard sometimes to know where to begin, but I think I'll begin at the beginning, which is probably the easiest way to do it. And that is just to qualify on my kind of drug usage. So I was an intravenous drug user, heroin predominantly, but I was also quite keen on cocaine. And I smoked a lot of dope and took acid and speed and basically anything that I thought would change my mood and make me hip, slick. Hip, slick and dead, I think is the motto that I heard later. And so, you know, I started off taking drugs really because I thought they were going to be quite cool. I thought, you know, it was a long time ago. I'm an old timer. So it was when, you know, rock and roll stars were still taking drugs and it was kind of, you know, an expression of freedom. And I didn't really see it as a manifestation of my own discomfort about who I was and my place in the world. That kind of recognition that I have today is you know, that came a lot later. So, you know, I took a lot of drugs. I discovered then I couldn't stop taking drugs. And what I did was I sacrificed all the things that I loved, all the things that I held as important, and just binned them in favor of taking drugs. And so, you know, when it talks about in our readings, finding ways and means to get more, that was basically me. In 1980 something, early 1980s, the friend whose house I was renting a room off overdosed. And much against my better judgment, we called an ambulance. And he disappeared, and I didn't see him for weeks. And then he came back, and he was fat, and he looked really well. And he said he'd been going to these meetings, and I was like, and? And he said, you should come along. And sensibly, I ignored him. Until one day, it kind of thought, okay, well, maybe I'll go along. So I went along, and I don't actually know where it was, but I know it was somewhere off the Harrow Road. I can't remember the name of the guy who was doing the chair, but it just sounded like me talking. It was extraordinary. He's saying these things. He talked about doing geographicals, and I thought, oh, that's exactly what I've done, you know. I would run away to places, California, or, you know, France, wherever it was. But, of course, I was always taking me and the problems that I had with me. You know, and so something sort of resonated with me in that meeting, but I didn't get clean straight away. But I did go to some more meetings, and then I put myself into a treatment center, and I came out, and then I started drinking, and then I spent 4 or 5 years drinking and then getting back into heroin use and cocaine use again, until eventually I was really destroyed. And I talked to a friend of mine. I was by in this stage, I was in Australia. And I knew this, so there was this woman who was working for me, and I knew her boyfriend was in the fellowship. And I said, look, could I give him a call? Just want to talk to him. And she said, sure. So I said, look, I'm thinking about going up the coast and, you know, just drying out for a bit. And he said, don't be stupid. You've done that time and time again. That's never worked, has it? And I went, no. He said, look, I'll get you down to a treatment center. A detox unit. And so I went to a detox unit. And in that detox unit, there was a guy who came in from the fellowship. And there were about 4 or 5 of us sitting around in this room. I can't remember the details, but I remember one thing that he said. He said, look, guys, you're in a psychiatric hospital. You're all mentally defective. And I'd never thought of myself as mentally defective. I thought of myself as a nice guy who's having a bit of a rough trot because I'd been using a bit too much. I didn't see myself as mentally defective. Mm-hmm. But it was undeniably true. I was in a psychiatric hospital. I wasn't just kind of, you know, I hadn't just taken a bit too many drugs and it wasn't going so well that week. You know, I was properly in a mess. And that sort of, for some reason, it got home to me. Long story short, so now I'm 29 years clean. And over those years, it's been a very, very good experience for me staying clean. You know, really, well, how can I put it? I certainly don't want to go back using again. The compulsion and the obsession I had to use was lifted, thankfully, for me many, many years ago. And I don't see drugs as a positive or good thing in my life, or anybody's life, to be honest with you. You know, I deal with life on life's terms, and a lot of that is quite difficult. And, you know, I go through worries and obsessions. I woke up really early this morning, you know, worried about stuff. And I go through some really fantastic, joyous things that I never thought would happen for me. Stuff, you know, having children and building a business and having just things, normal life that a junkie doesn't expect, right? You know, when I was sort of taking gear, you know, there was the Fall, the guy, Mark Smith, who died recently from the Fall, right? He had a great song called No Christmas for the Junkies, right? It's a classic riff. Get it out on Amazon or something. You know, and it was pretty bleak, and that's what it was like. I mean, if you're a using addict, there's not really much of a future for you. You know, is unfortunately true. It's jails, institutions, and death. That's been my experience over the years of, you know, watching what happens. But I'm still very fearful of drugs and addiction, and I'm careful and I'm attentive, and you know, I go to meetings still regularly, because I don't want to go back there. And I've seen people who've gone out after many years. I've seen people who've hanged themselves. I've known people who've committed suicide other ways. You know, it's not easy. Have I used up my 15 minutes?
No, carry on.
Oh, God. This is very hard. Right, okay, so now I'll deal with what my life is like today. So I'm dressed weirdly because I cycled here. I like to cycle. My wife said before I left, she said, "You can't go like looking like that. You can't go to me." I said, "They don't care. They don't care. It doesn't matter, right?" And you know, and I don't care, right? I mean, these things are not so important. I like cycling and I like wearing cycling gear, and that's fine. You know, I'm allowed to make those kind of choices. And you know, life for me is really basically very good. You know, I love it. I wake up in the morning. I don't have, sometimes, you know, today I was obsessed about some problems and issues, but essentially I take great joy and pleasure in being alive. I've repaired the relationship with my parents, my family, my sister. Having said that, for some strange reason, I ended up in a, don't worry, come on in. I ended up seeing a therapist recently, and I ended up in tears in the session, thinking back to things that happened way, way long ago, things that I thought I dealt with in recovery. You know, I felt like I put myself together again and felt a lot more confidence. But obviously there's still some stuff in there that, you know, still hurts and still affects me. So, you know, there's probably a lot more work to do, I guess. That must be it.
No, so you've got 5 more minutes. It's torturous, isn't it? Do you actually have a bike?
So, what else would you like me to tell you? So, I've had lots of troubles in recovery. So, you know, I've been through periods of gambling problems, been through periods of sex problems, periods of... Never really had food other than I really like ice cream, and I still eat ice cream every night. I think it's fantastic. I really do. I'm a creature of habit and routine. Work. And when I first came around, the first couple of years were very problematic for me. I mean, I was really battered. And it took me quite a long time to feel confident about who I am, my place in the world. And I felt very separate, you know, before when I was using. And now I feel quite part of the human race, and I feel quite comfortable and confident in my own skin. And for that, I'm really grateful. I'm a massive fan of NA. I'm a huge fan of the way it's organised. So I really like our traditions, the fact we don't have leaders. I don't like people telling me what to do much. I really like the fact that it's all anonymous. So if people ask me, oh, who did you see at the meeting? I won't tell them. Say, oh, who was doing the chair? I'd say, I don't know, I can't tell you. You know, I mean, I really, you know, they look at me like I'm really weird. I don't care. Because for me, those sorts of principles are actually important. You know, for me, they actually mean something. And you know, NA saved my life. I mean, basically, you in this room and all the other people I've met over the years have carried me and loved me and shown me a way to live. You know, all of that makes me feel quite emotional. I haven't done a chair for a while. Yeah. So it's big stuff, you know, and it's really, really, for me, worth being doing. It's been worth every hour that I've sat. I mean, there's one meeting I go to, I've been there, I've counted up sometimes, I don't know, it's well over 1,000 times, right, in that one meeting. So I spent hours and hours in that chair there, same place. And I've just heard some most fantastic stuff, and it's changed my life completely in how I think about myself and how I think about other people and how I relate to people and where I am in the world. And the level of honesty and the kind of compassion and love that I feel from fellow addicts for trying to recover has been just fantastic. And I don't think I'd really get that from professional people who want to take my money and help me. I don't know. I have done therapy and other things over the years, but not for a long time. I'm married. That's a nightmare, but it's also a great joy. So I mean, you know, I vacillate on that. I don't really know what to. I've got no advice to give on relationships at all. I've got nothing really to say about anything other than I do know how to stay clean, right? Which is not pick up, and that I got. I really got that. If you don't pick up, you won't use. It's really, really simple. And if you don't pick up and you don't use, you know, or if I don't pick up and I didn't use, I've got a chance. You know, I've got a new day every day. And I'm a big fan of day, it's just today that counts. Massive fan of that. I've been successful, moderately so, in my business dealings. So I have money, which is nice. Didn't have any of that. It never stayed with me anyway when I was using. That's for sure. You know, I'd buy a guitar one week and it would be gone the next. But none of those things are as important as the kind of feeling I have about myself and the people around me. That must be it. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you.